This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehia Suhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
I think now there's going to be a much more difficult time for the continent under Trump presidency in terms of relations with China and him wanting the continent to really take a side. Pick a side. Are you with us? Or are you with them?
That was Stembele Mbete, political science lecturer at Pretoria University, who says African countries may face difficult choices under Donald Trump's second term in the White House. Details coming up. Also, experts say President-elect Donald Trump is likely to harden the U.S. approach to Ukraine and China. And Mozambican police are cracking down on the biggest protest against last month's disputed election. These stories and more on Africa News Tonight. We start with our top story. African leaders say they are looking forward to strengthening their partnership with the United States under President-elect Donald Trump. The Republican claimed a decisive election victory over Democratic candidate Kamala Harris on Tuesday to secure a second term in the White House. Some international affairs experts in Africa say Trump's new administration may change how Washington engages with the continent. Darren Taylor reports.
In Johannesburg, Wits University global affairs expert Dr. Telela Nketane-Vika says Donald Trump's election victory heralds an uncertain time for Africa.
Donald Trump as a president of the United States comes with a lot of complexities, his own rhetoric, and that rhetoric sometimes doesn't land well, especially for us who are coming from the global south, his posture and how he sees us in a not favorable way. But there are also those who are coming from the global south who feel that the current global climate, especially of the wars in Ukraine and in Gaza, only a Trump presidency can bring an end to it. Now, that remains to be seen.
South African independent economist Ntombi Mbele Tomo reflects the view of many analysts when she says another Trump presidency leaves Africa very vulnerable.
I don't really see Trump being the first person to raise his hand to provide support for the African continent. And so I am very skeptical, to say the least. He wants to be more bilateral in his engagements, firstly, but also secondly, he has a very nationalistic agenda. And I think that is a cause for concern. And I don't see him really being a president who's going to upkeep and upstand some of the trade agreements that were initially engaged in by the U.S.
Dr. Sitembile Mbete, political science lecturer at Pretoria University, says Trump showed during his first term he's not interested in Africa.
In terms of his Make America Great Again, Put America First foreign policy, he wasn't very keen on development assistance to Africa, on really balancing the trade relationship either between the US and Africa. But there was nothing really disruptive that particularly happened then. I think now there's going to be a much more difficult time for the continent under Trump presidency in terms of relations with China and him wanting the continent to really take a side. Pick a side. Are you with us? Are you with them?
Over the past 20 years, the World Economic Forum reports China has become Africa's largest bilateral trading partner. It says around 20% of the continent's exports now go to China, and about 16% of Africa's imports come from China. Mbete says Africa cannot afford to minimize relations with China, which may cause tension with the Trump administration. International relations expert and former U.S. diplomat Brooks Spector says there's no guarantee the U.S. Congress under Trump will renew the African Growth and Opportunity Act. AGOA gives 35 African countries duty-free access to U.S. markets for almost 2,000 products. Spector says Trump could decide he's not willing to give benefits to countries that do a lot of business with America's rivals, especially China.
Losing AGOA access will translate in some manner to the loss of jobs and in some manner to the loss of growth or economic activity Part of the problem is that Donald Trump sees foreign trade as a distinctly reciprocal transactional activity. In other words, there are no altruistic, there are no individual benefits that are given. Everything must be a trade. Everything must be reciprocal.
There's also concern in Africa about a new Trump administration's position on climate change. Scientists say global warming, caused mainly by carbon pollution in industrialized countries, is causing extreme weather, like droughts and floods, with Africa hard hit. Africa wants developed nations like the US to fund efforts to reduce the impact of climate change. Mbete says Trump won't agree to this.
He's probably going to reverse a whole lot of what has been decided in the last 4 years around mitigation efforts, around helping African countries to adjust to climate change, but also to clean energy.
Trump has advocated more oil drilling in the United States and played down the consequences of climate change. During his campaign, he said he would again pull the U.S. from the Paris Climate Agreement, in which countries pledged to cut carbon emissions. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Some experts say President-elect Donald Trump is likely to harden the U.S. approach to Ukraine and China and infuse more unpredictability in the Middle East. Trump has signaled a return to his America First foreign policy, while also promising to end Russia's war against Ukraine and bring peace to the Middle East. Ambassador David Mack, formerly Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Near East, discussed with VOA senior analyst Mohammed Al-Shenawi possible foreign policy approaches under the new Trump administration, starting with the war in Ukraine.
We know that his thinking is very close to the thinking of Vladimir Putin. He made that clear when he was president before, and he has said that he thinks the Ukrainians, in effect, started the war and have been continuing it, and that if he could just sit down with Vladimir Zelensky, he could solve it right away. But I think what that means is that he would force Ukraine to recognize Russian sovereignty over Crimea and large parts of eastern Ukraine that are now under Russian military control, and that Ukraine should allow Russian domination of Black Sea shipping to resume and Russian influence in both Georgia and Moldova. You know that Moldova recently voted to get closer to the European Union. And it's also quite clear that Trump would not support Ukraine joining either the European Union or NATO. So I think given the amount of leverage the U.S. has through its military and financial assistance to Ukraine, that this is very likely to happen. There will be pushback from some Europeans, particularly states that are close to Ukraine, like Poland and Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania, all of whom, in effect, they will be the next targets if Ukraine has to give up its struggle against Russian domination.
What do you expect from his foreign policy in the Middle East?
I think it's going to depend very much on the countries that are in conflict with Israel at this time. I expect that Trump will take a very pro-Israeli and anti-Palestinian position. He will oppose a full statehood for Palestine. He will oppose massive humanitarian aid for the Palestinians. I don't think Trump would care if there were another Nakba and another flight of Palestinians out of the West Bank and Gaza into other countries. I think Trump would also increase pressure on Syria, Iran, and Yemen. I'm a little less certain about Lebanon, even though the conflict is ongoing in Lebanon, but I think a lot of Israeli security and military people realize that this could be a serious mistake for Israel, as it has been in the past. Plus, the Lebanese American community is traditionally more Republican Party oriented than it is with the Democrats. So there are a lot of influential and very wealthy Lebanese Americans who will want to see some kind of compromise between Israel and Lebanon. I also would expect to see a number of economic deals between the United States and various Arab governments, particularly Arab governments that are prepared to give economic roles for U.S. companies.
Almost.
That was Ambassador David Mack, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for the Near East, speaking with VOA's senior analyst Mohammed Al-Shenawi. Former U.S. President Donald Trump will return to the White House after winning Tuesday's election. The news has been received with a mix of cheers and tears in a country that is deeply divided. VOA's Veronica Balderas Iglesias reports from Washington.
With millions of ballots cast across the country, America made its voice heard. Former President Donald Trump is set to serve a second term in the country's highest office. His supporters in the Manhattan borough of New York City say they are elated. John Rivera is one of Trump's supporters.
I knew he was going to win. And for the people, to help the people out that's struggling, like me, my family, we're struggling hard.
Edwin Quesada also voted for Donald Trump.
Trump is who this country needs right now. It was good while Trump was president, and hopefully he can fix things. The mess that the Democrats made.
Barbara Yan, however, says she's not thrilled with the election outcome.
In any other country in the world, you would never elect somebody who's going through the criminal process as our president. But here, it's possible. So we'll see. We'll weather through it.
The sense of disappointment was palpable Wednesday in the U.S. Capitol, Washington, where most of the votes were cast for Vice President Kamala Harris. Morgan Day worries about women's reproductive rights under a new Trump administration.
The Trump presidency in his last administration obviously stacked the courts in such a way that Roe v. Wade was overturned. We've already seen the devastating impacts that that has had on communities across our country. Women have died.
Transgender rights are on the mind of Davey, who didn't provide a last name.
I don't think the president's going to do anything to help queer, trans people or women. I think he's going to make it worse.
Jake Osterman says he's just glad Americans showed up at the polls in big numbers.
I'd rather an election that is one based off of more people going to vote for what they believe in than one that's kind of just been thrown away because not as many people vote.
Maryland voter Franklin Tumasang hopes Americans will find a way to come together and trusts that former President Trump's skills as a businessman will greatly benefit the country.
He's going to make the economy, the inflation go down, because that's a very big problem we're facing right now. Gas prices are up, groceries are up.
Throughout the election, the economy remained a top priority for Americans. Now that Trump has won, the expectation for the former president to deliver on his promise to improve it are higher than ever. Veronica Valderas Iglesias, VOA News, Washington.
You're listening to Africa News Tonight on The Voice of America. Find us on voaafrica.com. There you'll find all your favorite VOA and radio TV programs, and a whole lot more. Of course, we'd love to hear from you. You can share your thoughts about the news and our programs by WhatsApp. The number is +1 202 258 3076. Every Wednesdays, we'll be sharing our listeners' comments on Africa News Tonight. The United States is gearing up for a transfer of power, with President Joe Biden congratulating President-elect Donald Trump on his victory and Vice President Kamala Harris conceding defeat. White House Bureau Chief Patsy Wadakuswara has this report from Howard University, where Harris spoke yesterday.
The moment Vice President Kamala Harris conceded her defeat to President-elect Donald Trump came Wednesday afternoon at Howard University, her alma mater and election watch party venue. Unlike Trump, Harris had committed weeks ago to respect the election result. She said it's a fundamental principle of American democracy.
We owe loyalty not to a president or a party, but to the Constitution of the United States. And loyalty to our conscience and to our God. My allegiance to all three is why I am here to say, while I concede this election, I do not concede the fight that fueled this campaign.
Earlier, Harris called to congratulate Trump and discuss the importance of a peaceful transfer of power and being a president for all Americans, her campaign said. The Trump campaign said the president-elect acknowledged Harris for her strength, professionalism, and tenacity throughout the campaign, and both leaders agreed on the importance of unifying the country. The White House said President Joe Biden called both candidates and will address the nation Thursday to discuss the election results and the transition. In her remarks, Harris sought to comfort her staff and supporters.
Only when it is dark enough can you see the stars. I know many people feel like we are entering a dark time, but for the benefit of us all, I hope that is not the case. But here's the thing, America, if it is, let us fill the sky with the light of a brilliant, brilliant billion of stars. The light of optimism, of faith, of truth, and service.
Harris' speech marked an extraordinary moment reminiscent of 2016, when another female candidate, Hillary Clinton, conceded defeat to Trump. 2,000 Harris supporters had stayed past midnight on election night Tuesday. The mood grew more somber as more and more states were called for Trump. As they watched Harris deliver her concession speech Wednesday, many were emotional.
I woke up crying. I left the rally last night crying. Now I'm feeling hopeful and feeling restored. It's a long road ahead, but I feel like it's not the end of the road.
Wow. She gave us a little bit of hope to keep continuing to work, you know, on yourself, on your community, and to focus. And I'm, you know, I'm actually happy the fact that she ended on that note.
The people have spoken. We need to respect that. This is democracy, and we have to keep fighting.
Trump won 292 electoral college votes to Harris 224. He declared victory in the early hours of Wednesday, thanking his supporters.
They came from all quarters, union, non-union, African-American, Hispanic-American, Asian-American, Arab-American, Muslim-American. We had everybody, and it was beautiful. It was a historic realignment.
Harris' concession speech marked the end of a whirlwind campaign that began when Biden withdrew from the race in June. From Howard University, Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News, Washington.
Republicans won control of the U.S. Senate early Wednesday, a major victory that will give President-elect Donald Trump a key tool for enacting his legislative agenda. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson has more from Washington.
For the first time in 4 years, Republicans have won a majority in the U.S. Senate. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
This is certainly a happy day for the GOP.
Republicans secured their expected wins in the key swing state of Pennsylvania. U.S. Senator-elect David McCormick.
It looks like we're headed in a very good direction.
And in Texas, Democrat Colin Allred failed to beat Republican Senator Ted Cruz.
I will fight for you, for your jobs, for your safety, and for your constitutional rights.
All 435 seats in the U.S. House of Representatives were also up for re-election, with Republicans expected to hold on to their control of the lower chamber. In the Senate races, Democrats did secure wins in California. U.S. Senator-elect Adam Schiff.
I am committed to taking on the big fights to
protect our freedoms. Good to see my granddaughter sitting in the front row here.
And now we break for an event at the White House. U.S. President Joe Biden is speaking now in the White House Rose Garden about the election results and the preparations for the transition of the new administration of President-elect Donald Trump. Here is Biden speaking now.
Vote and choose their own leaders, and they do it peacefully. And we're in a democracy. The will of the people always prevails. Yesterday, I spoke with President-elect Trump to congratulate him on his victory. And I assured him that I'd direct my entire administration to work with his team to ensure a peaceful and orderly transition. That's what the American people deserve. Yesterday, I also spoke with Vice President Harris. She's been a partner and a public servant. She ran an inspiring campaign, and everyone got to see something that I learned early on to respect so much. Her character. She has a backbone like a ramrod. She has great character, true character. She gave her whole heart and effort, and she and her entire team should be proud of the campaign they ran. You know, the struggle for the soul of America since our very founding has always been an ongoing debate and still vital today. I know for some people, it's a time for victory, to state the obvious. For others, it's a time of loss. Campaigns are contests of competing visions. The country chooses one or the other. We accept the choice the country made. I've said many times, you can't love your country only when you win. You can't love your neighbor only when you agree. Something I hope we can do, no matter who you voted for, is see each other not as adversaries, but as fellow Americans. Bring down the temperature. I also hope we can lay to rest the question about the integrity of the American electoral system. It is honest, it is fair, and it is transparent. And it can be trusted, win or lose. I also hope we can restore the respect for all our election workers who busted their necks and took risks at the outset. We should thank them. Thank them for staffing voting sites, counting the votes, protecting the very integrity of the election. Many of them are volunteers who do it simply out of love for their country. And as they did their duty as citizens, I will do my duty as president. I'll fulfill my oath. And I will honor the Constitution. On January 20th, we'll have a peaceful transfer of power here in America. To all our incredible staff, supporters, cabinet members, all the people who have been hanging out with me for the last 4 years, God love you, as my mother would say, thank you so much. You put so much into the past 4 years. I know it's a difficult time. You're hurting. I hear you and I see you. But don't forget. Don't forget all that we accomplished.
That was U.S. President Joe Biden speaking at the White House Rose Garden about the election results and the preparations for the transition to the new administration of President-elect Donald Trump. He's talking at this very moment. And basically, President Biden will leave the White House when Trump is inaugurated next January. Between now and January, Mr. Biden has a lot to do. He has a lot on his plate. He has like two wars, one in the Ukraine, one in the Middle East. So he has to deal with that as well. Biden dropped out of the election campaign over the summer after what many supporters thought was a poor debate performance against Trump. And with that, we wrap up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehias Wuhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, David Van Dee, and our engineer, Nelson Lopes, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.